Well, we do have something else that we need to do together today, and I prepared a message. It kind of follows on the heels of John's, only it's to honor those that are still alive before they die. Honor them while they're living, while they're with us. We want to do that always, to remember those that have gone before us. Never forget them. I'm going to talk about some of our senior citizens. Today, I'm only going to spend time talking about and introducing those and acknowledging those who are in their 90s and 80s and 70s. We've got so many. I saved the 60s for a separate category later on, because that's where I am too, my wife and I. But God says it is very important for us to learn to properly honor and respect those who are gray-haired and older, mature, many years of life, many years of experience. Let's look at what he says, and then I'm going to introduce these senior citizens to you and this age group, including those who are in SQUIM. And Betty and Jim, get ready to stand up over there. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, to take a look at one of God's commandments about this. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. And it says, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord." Of course, that means an old woman as well. So not just talking about men only. I wanted to read that from the New Living Translation. You might have another translation that puts it in another way from the Hebrew, the original meaning. And the New Living Translation, it says it this way: "Show your fear of God by standing in the presence of elderly people," by standing up in their presence, "and showing respect for the aged, because I am the Lord." You know, so God has a law, a commandment, and that is not being obeyed today in our land and our society by many people, and that is to show a special honor, a special respect for those who are older than we are, who are aged, who are our seniors. One of God's laws, one of his commandments. We know Exodus chapter 20 very well, don't we? But let's look at it again, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and let's read verse 12. One of God's great commandments, the fifth commandment. It says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." This is called the first commandment with promise. The promise is that God may bless you, that there's a special blessing if we do honor our mother and our father. And today we'll see a little bit later, and I think you heard this from Steve Kuhn last week, talking about the church as family, right, Steve? I think that's what his subject was, that we are family, a spiritual family, that we know that as we sit here today, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are mothers and children and fathers and children in Christ. We're going to see the Bible speaks in those terms, that God brings us together. Most of us, if we were not called by God and we're still, let's say, out in the world, would not know one another. Some of us would never really have any social contact with one another, probably. We're from many different walks of life and ages and groups, and yet here we are, called to be family together. And God says that we're to especially have a special honor and respect for those who are our seniors, and to get to know them. And what I'm going to be encouraging you and urging you to do, all of us, to really get to know these who are your senior citizens. Now, someone can die before they're old, that's true. We want to get to know everybody if we can. But the chances of losing some of our members is certainly greater as we get older, of them passing on. Let's go to one more scripture, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 31. Proverbs 16, verse 31. Just a few scriptures for us to be reminded of God's word on this subject. Proverbs 16, verse 31. The silver-haired head, this is the way it's worded in the New King James Bible, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. And so these people, these members of ours that I'm going to introduce to you today, and I think this is as good a time as any to do that, this scripture applies to them. The silver hair, silver head, is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. And so with our senior citizens, they are found in the way of righteousness, aren't they? They truly are. And they've been at it for many, many decades. So I'm not only going to mention the age group that they're in, but their date of baptism, how long they've been a baptized member of the church, a converted member of the church, how long they've been fighting the battle of obeying God and overcoming in the flesh, struggling and striving. So I'd like to begin. You can write these down, or we can eventually, once we get it all, make sure we have it all complete, kind of like what John was saying. If we've left someone out in one of these age groups, then please let us know. We've tried to make it as complete as possible. I'd like to begin with our senior, the only one in the 90s right now, since Ethel Kopp died. You saw Ethel's picture and name up there, Margaret Schwartz. So Margaret, would you stand? 91 years old, Margaret, just stay standing a minute. Margaret will be 92 in January. Margaret has served as a deaconess in the church for many decades, very faithfully and loyally. And you'll notice that Larry Hardison, I put it back down there, but on the back of the bulletin now, the announcement bulletin you get every Sabbath, if you look on the back, you'll see we've now added the names of the deacons and deaconesses on there as well. So you know who they are. These are men and women who have been ordained to the office of deacon or deaconess in God's church. And above that, you'll see the elders that you would call if you need to be anointed or something along that line. So Margaret was baptized in 1961. Margaret, we just want to thank you for your many years of faithful service, for your example. Still coming to church when I'm sure you don't feel like it at times. Thank you. We love you. So Margaret is our senior. I'm going to mention those. Now, if you can sit if you want, Margaret. Yeah, it'd probably be easier for you than standing through the whole thing. And what I'd like to do a little bit later on as well is get something developed and with a little bit more information. We still do have the autobiographies of some of our seniors that we did way back in the 80s. We still have those. But we need to get some new ones for some of the others and get them updated. Information about their life that we can make available to the whole congregation. There are a lot of things we could say about each of them, and we'll plan that for another time so that you can get to know who are the seniors among you if you don't already know them. The next are those in their 80s. Those in their 80s. I'm not going to go down and tell you exactly how old they are in their 80s, but this next group that stands up one at a time are all in their 80s. So LaVeda Bird Gray. LaVeda is here today. There's LaVeda. Was baptized in 1963. Who baptized you, LaVeda? Jimmy Friddle baptized you. Okay. Back in 1963. She's been a member of God. You can stay standing until I introduce the others in their 80s. Marjorie Brunkhurst. Marjorie, over in Squim, would you stand up? Come on, Marge, I know you're there. I know you're meeting over there. So thank you, Marge, for standing up, okay. Margie was baptized in 1964. Ann Miller. Ann, right up here in front. We saw Andy, her husband, was one of those shown up here. So Ann was baptized in 1963, right, Ann? And you see her, turn around so everybody can see you smile. Okay? And you know, you see her at the door over there. She's in her 80s, that's all I'm going to tell you. And these ladies are wonderful examples of faithfulness. They're examples to me. If they can keep at it and keep going, we can. All right? You can stay standing, Ann. That's okay. Glenn McCormick. Where's Glenn? There you are. Glenn was baptized in 1963 as well. Glenn's a deacon, served as a deacon at the church. He's retired now from his duties as a deacon. But Glenn only stopped working, what, last month? July? July 26th. He was working at the Air Museum. Is that where you were working? Museum of Flight, it's called, in Seattle, until just last month. Wonderful examples for us of faithful service. And every time I see them and shake hands, I just say, thank you for your example, faithfulness and loyalty. Is Merle McIntyre here? Did Merle? There you are, Merle. Merle was baptized in 1969, right, Merle? All right. And has attended the Seattle congregation that long? Were you baptized right here in this area? Okay. Well, just turn around so everybody can see you. Okay. Glenn, you can turn too if you want. So. Hey, most of you know these people. They've been around forever. If you don't, shake their hand today and get to know them, okay? All right, Dorothy Rayner. Dorothy's sitting right back here. Can you raise your hand, Dorothy, and wave to everybody? All right, Dorothy was baptized 1970, right, Dorothy? Got it right? Okay, very good. And you've been here, part of our Seattle Bellevue congregation. How long since, when did you first come here? 1988, since 1988 you've been here. All right. And Esther Peterson, most of us who have been longtime members in the Seattle Bellevue area know and love Esther, but Esther now attends the Cedro Woolley congregation up north most of the time because she moved up in that direction. But Esther is a longtime deaconess and servant in the Church of God with that incredible sense of humor. We remember about Esther, a wonderful, wonderful lady. Thank you all. These are the ones in their 80s. Thank you. You may sit down now. Okay, now we'll go to the 70s. Jim and Florence McConnell in their 70s. Jim? Oh, Margie Brunkhurst, you could sit down too. Over there. Now, Jim McConnell, you're supposed to stand up. I haven't gotten to Betty yet. Betty Ashland's over there too. So Betty, you might as well stand up too. Thank you very much. Jim and Florence McConnell were baptized in 1973. A deacon and deaconess over there. And Betty, of course her husband Bob Ashland, who was an elder in our area, was shown on the screen, one of those John had up there. Was Betty, Bob Ashland, Betty's husband. Bob, Betty's a deaconess as well. And they were baptized in 1961. Okay, you can sit down now, Betty. Betty and Jim. And Florence is in the hospital. Jim, when they say she can stand, you have her stand up. But you know how they are today. They already, after that open heart surgery, had her getting up and moving around, and she's supposed to walk as much as she can. So they do that today, so she'll be able to stand too. Jim and Florence. Now I'm going to save kind of our oldest baptized ones here to the end. There they are, right over there. But Mary and Jean Post. Mary and Jean, you both stand up. Yeah, and you can turn around so people see who you are. Mary was baptized in 1963 and Jane in 1968. And we thank them just for, I'm going to say more later about all of them, but they're faithful, wonderful example. And Doraleen Blackwell is the one that I mentioned earlier that was here hoping to be introduced but had to be taken to the hospital because she was feeling so faint and not well at all. So we hope to hear a good report about her later. And Carl and Joe Anderson. Carl, one of our elders in our congregation, of course, and Joe, his wife, who has served as a deaconess in our congregation for many decades. So she's standing there with you as well, Carl. And they were baptized in 1961. And then finally, Marge and Harold Shanyo, can you stand up back over there? Can you move out this way a little bit so people in the back can see you so you know who the Shanyos are? Come on, there you go. There you go, and wave to them over there. Yeah, wave to those people. All right, Marge and Harold Shanyo, they're just short of 80. I'll just say that, just short of 80. You get to move into the next category soon. Harold was baptized in 1954. Are you sure this is right? Not 64, not 54. Wow, he was baptized in 1954 and Marge in 1957. So they are our seniors as far as how long they've been baptized members of the church. Brethren, let's thank God for these seniors that we just introduced today. Some of us tend to think that getting older is getting worse, right? One of my favorite articles, I just want to read a little bit to you. We're going to talk about these seniors. What do older people contribute? They get to the point where they can't do a lot of the physical things they used to be able to do. I've saved this because I thought it said it so well out of Reader's Digest. Why getting older is getting better. Experts are finding today that getting older is, and they put it in italics, is getting better in very real ways. First one, you smarten up as you get older. If you continue reading and thinking and creating all your life, the knowledge that you gain literally actually does improve your intelligence. The speed of reasoning and remembering may decrease. As you get older, the speed of reasoning and thinking and remembering decreases, but not the quality. We do lose some brain cells with age, but neuroscientists now know, and this is incredible research continuing to go on, we now know that we grow more connecting branches between our brain cells, increasing the depth of our knowledge throughout our life into the 70s, 80s, and longer. You know, they're now proving this. They used to think you're born with so many brain cells and they start dying right away. And you just start getting dumber as you get older because you're losing brain cells. I mean, I'm putting it in a certain way, but that's kind of what they thought. That's when you get old and decrepit because you're losing brain cells, intelligence, etc. They're finding that is, sorry, we were wrong, it's not true. The brain continues, like any muscle of the body, they're literally now calling your brain a muscle. And like any muscle of the body, depending on how you use it and exercise it, it will grow stronger and stay strong your whole life. Same thing with the brain. It'll grow and it'll grow stronger depending on how you use it. If you're a lazy person, if you never read, all you do is watch television, you know, it goes on this type of thing, you're not going to have the mind you could otherwise. If you are challenging your mind, learning new things, doing new things, et cetera, et cetera. There's a whole world of knowledge out there today. So seniors, as they get older, smarten up. It goes on. They add another one. Older people toughen up. Studies by medical schools show that our psychological defense mechanism, that is, our ways of coping with difficult feelings and with life, become healthier as we grow older. Younger people protect themselves, tend to protect themselves with strategies such as denial and impulsive acting out. They're not yet mature enough. The older aged rely far more on defenses such as humor to deal with life and situations, altruism, and creativity. We literally do age, as we age, literally do cope better with life's upsets. Psychologically, you become tougher and stronger with age. This is from Carl Anderson. This is Carl's saying. If you go up and ask Carl how old he is or if he's feeling old, he says, "Speaking for those honored, we will look forward to the next time when we get old 15 years from now." So you ask Carl when he's going to be old. He says, every year, 15 years from now, 15 years from now, 15 years from now, 15 years from now. And that is one of the things that I'm going to bring out, that there is the chronological age, but then there's how old you think you are, and that's the key. But it goes on here, this article. I've saved it, and I love it, and read it from time to time and review it, that in many, many ways, because the spirit within us never ages, never gets old. That's what's going to go on after the flesh dies when we're changed. But they go on and say that as you age, you become more mature. Candace Bergen said in her autobiography, "It takes a long time to become a person. The older you get, the more unique and mature you become," she said. "You become clearer about what you think, what you like and don't like. You begin to know who you are as a person. You mature. You don't personalize rejection as much as you get older. You realize that the way people might treat you often has more to do with them than with you. And that's liberating." So you grow up and you mature as you grow older. It's the way it was intended to be. Another thing that this article brings out in research is that you become more altruistic, generous, and giving as you grow older. In a recent national study, 84% of Americans agreed that in your older, later years of life, most people become more compassionate and giving than when they were younger. There is a strong potential for more involvement with community and with others in the later years. Let's say when people are no longer working the work, the regular job that they have. Today, you're finding many older people volunteering their time in the community in many, many different ways, just giving their time and life and energy, serving one another and many other people. So older people tend to become more altruistic and generous and giving as they get older, reaching out to others. Your world widens. One of the things that we fear about growing older is increasing isolation. But if you make the effort, midlife and older can be a time of more personal relationships. By the time you've reached midlife and older, you have a rich network of lifelong friends, acquaintances, colleagues, and extended family. That's the way it should be. And so your world widens. You get to know more people the longer you live, your neighbors, your friends. You expand your life. You're not a loner. You're not isolated. You're not the kind of person who is, "I don't want to meet anybody new. I don't want to meet people." Older people, as they mature and grow and go through life, learn one of the most important lessons of life, that life is about relationships. That's what it's about, relationships with God and with other human beings. Just a couple more from this article. As you grow older, you are more motivated. These are all scientific studies reported on in Reader's Digest. While older people are free to spend their time the way they want, they also know they have less of it left. That makes them more aware of how precious time is, and more discriminating about how they use it. This is the results of testing in the majority of older people. They are aware, I have fewer days, weeks, and months left in my life than I've lived already. And that's precious time. What am I going to do with the remainder of my life? Studies show that many seniors make good use of their time. Studies have shown that a vital, absorbing interest extends their life. And so seniors, many of them, become more motivated in the latter years of their life as they're blessed with the health to do things. And then the final one the article brings out is many older people come alive spiritually. You can't run as fast as you once could, but the spiritual side of you becomes stronger. You have time to reflect, to meditate, to think about your life and the purpose of life, and to make sense of your calling and your life's experience. That's in the Reader's Digest. The result is a deepening of religious faith among many older people. So, it's a good article, but it's all backed up, you know, by research statistics and all. So, you seniors, our seniors, although I know many of you do not have the physical energy to do some of the things that you used to do in church, I can only tell you, I would say this, your prayers are very effective and useful and powerful. Your prayers to God for others, for God's work in church, are very, very important, God says. You know, imagine how God must look down from heaven upon these children of his who are gray-headed, most of them, and older, where it's even getting hard for them to kneel and get down on their knees. Imagine how God is looking down upon these, his children, his senior citizens, who've been at it, most of them here, for decade after decade after decade after decade after decade, serving God and serving in the church. You know God has to have a special feeling of love and tenderness and kindness for them. So seniors, senior citizens, don't ever forget the importance of your prayers. What about your example? Some of you say, well, I can't do as much as I used to do. But look at how many of them were able to be here today in church. Stop and think about it, the rest of us who are younger. Do you think that these older seniors who are here, do you think they have a lot more physical energy than you do, most of you? No, they don't. It probably takes greater effort for them to get ready and get here. And yet every Sabbath that they're not sick, they're here. They're here. And that example is a powerful example. Just that example. I like to tell them that, look, your example speaks louder than words, your faithfulness and your loyalty. Don't underestimate that, ever. Your example, your prayers, your example. And of course, many of you still serve and do all kinds of things in the congregation behind the scenes. You encourage, you write letters, you help, you do so many things. You're very, very important to God. Just wanted to mention one book, and then I'm going to turn to a couple of more scriptures, but I really want to recommend this book because it was just written, just out, just last month, I believe it is. And one of the main authors is Art Linkletter. Now, some of the younger kids may not know who Art Linkletter is. The rest of us, I mean, this guy, he's only 94 years old today, Art Linkletter. Still writing books, still traveling, still giving lectures and tours, still talking. And he, along with one of the co-authors of the Chicken Soup for Your Soul books, and a bunch of those you can get, Mark Hansen, co-authored it with him, but Art Linkletter. And I love the title of the book, and I looked through it last night and this morning. Fantastic material. It's right up to date. They give all the latest research. They show how many people get older than they have to because they've been programmed, well, I'm going to get old, and getting old means decrepit, and they're just programmed negatively. But the title of the book, in case you want to go to the bookstore and look at it and decide, is How to Make the Rest of Your Life the Best of Your Life. So they show, no matter what age you are, how much time God may give you left, how to make the best of your life. It's the latest research on attitude and brain research and brain development and growth. You know, it's not just general, it's specific research they go into and health issues. And like Art Linkletter says, you know, a lot of people are worried about retirement and Social Security. He said, here's my formula, and he explains how it works. He said, don't worry. He said, it'd be better if we didn't have Social Security in some ways. He says that. But he said, some people may need it. But most people, he said, after you retire from your regular job, your regular work that you do, he says, you may retire from that, but don't ever retire. And he gives many examples of people after they retired from their regular job made much more money by being creative and thinking of other ways to earn a living. They made much more money after they retired from their regular job. Examples, illustrations, websites to go to where you can check people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. He's one of them, 94 years old. It's a whole different way of thinking is what he brings out in the book and planning your life. Very encouraging. It thought-provoking. It got me to thinking about my job as pastoring. I mean, I won't be able to pastor forever, but I will always be an elder and minister of God and always serving and always involved. You know, we have to think beyond, don't we? Quote-unquote retirement year. So I recommend this if you'd like to be stimulated in your thinking, get the latest research on aging with a lot of humor involved. Makes it fun to read, but it is really an excellent book. How to make the rest of your life the best of your life. Never too late to learn and grow. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I don't know, Steve, if you used the scripture or not in your sermon last Sabbath, 1 Timothy chapter 5. This theme that we've been in lately about family and the church being family, how we're to treat each other. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We'll read the first three verses. Do not rebuke an older man. He's talking, Paul is writing to Timothy, the apostle writing to a minister, a young minister who teaches the congregation. Do not correct. In the Greek, it means treat harshly. Do not harshly correct or an older man, a physically older man in the congregation, but exhort or entreat him or appeal to him, the Greek means. You appeal to someone. You don't remember he's your father in the faith. Treat him as a father, see, is what he's saying. Respect him as an older, as a father in the faith, in the church, and the younger men as brothers. And so we see these terms being used. And notice Paul says, and the older women. You know, the older women, how should we treat the older women? As mothers. That's what God's word says, as mothers. So younger ones here, we have many in the church here who are your mothers in the faith, your mothers in the church, your spiritual mothers. And the younger girls as sisters with all purity, with pure thoughts toward them. And notice in verse 3, it says, honor widows. Now the Greek word here, tomeo, means recognize and value them and take care of them. That's what it means to honor the older, the widows and widowers. Honor them, take care of them, respect them. Now I think many of you do this. And I think going along with John's presentation, we still have the opportunity, and many of you still have the opportunity to honor and get to know and respect and encourage and serve many of our senior citizens. They have a lot to give. I think rather than going on too much time, I told John that he and I would split the time today in the messages, and I appreciate his very much. I think I'll just close by reminding us all that God actually tells the older men and women in the congregation that they are to be teachers of good things, that their lives are very valuable, that we have a tremendous amount that we can learn. Barbara? Okay, Barbara, why don't you stand? You're going to be 71 in atonement. You are.
And I know you prayed for me several times and probably saved me from death a few years ago.
All right.
And you came a couple times anointed me, so I want to be sure I'm on your list, Mr. Luther.
We'll get you there, Barb. Thank you. And my apologies that I didn't get that. We will get it right. Thank you very much. Anyone else, please let me know. Barbara Quinn. Barbara Quinn, why don't you, while you're here, you'll be 71 in when?
Atonement.
Oh, we'll fast for you, okay. would you stand, Barbara Quinn? Yeah, that's right. Barbara Quinn, and go ahead. 41 years. Well, when were you baptized? 1965. Get that. Valden White, going way back to Valden White's days. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you so much for reminding me, and my apologies for that. And so, anyone else, please let me know. Yeah. Thankfully, Barbara, God doesn't forget anybody. He doesn't. No, he doesn't. But how valuable our senior citizens really are. So I'll close with the scripture in James 1:27 that says, and I'll just mention it, that pure religion and undefiled religion is to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction, and their loneliness, many of them, and their struggles as they grow older, and the trials that they have in the flesh. But God says pure and undefiled religion, brethren, for all of us, is to visit these widows and widowers. Do it here at church. Make a special time to do it, whichever way you want to do it. But God says pure religion and undefiled is to visit them in their need and their affliction. Not only to encourage them by your love and concern, but also to learn from them and their many years. So to our seniors, we do love you and we do appreciate you very, very much.